A Year in Japan, Episode 5. Welcome back to A Year in Japan, Episode 5 for February 17th, 2007, broadcast live from Tokyo, Japan. Well, we've got a packed show today, including the story I promised you last time about Tsukiji Fish Market. We've got an interview with a top Tokyo architect. And finally, I'm going to get round to responding to some listeners' feedback, because I know there's a lot out of you out there, unless one of you is downloading again and again and again a thousand times. So without further ado, let's get on with the show. Well, if you're coming to Tokyo, there's one place that you definitely need to visit, and that's Tsukiji Fish Market. You can take advantage of your jet lag when you find yourself waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning. There's not much going on in Tokyo at 3 in the morning. However, the preparations are underway for the daily market in north-south-east. That's right, eastern Tokyo. One of the world's biggest fish markets. At Tsukiji, they have over 50,000 workers, 14,000 retailers there on a daily basis going to pick up their fish for their sushi shops and things like that. There's over 1,600 stalls and the most incredible seafoods. I mean, if you've ever been to a fish shop and you've wondered what sort of fish that fish over there is, the one that looks a bit funny. Well, you know, you go to Tsukiji and wherever you look, you'll see all these sea animals, which you've never seen before. You'll wonder what on earth they are. So, it's a real, real mad place. The other thing is, it's because you've got these 50,000 workers, right? Half of them seem to be riding on these trucks, these tiny little one-man open-top truck things, which are a bit like forklift trucks, but they don't move up and down. They're called Mighty Car. They're actually quite small, but they're incredibly dangerous. They're so fast, and they go absolutely everywhere. Like, they're shooting backwards and forwards with all these fish on the back of them. And then they're going down these tiny little alleyways, and you could easily lose a foot if you're not careful. But anyway, we turned up there at about, it must have been about 6 a.m. We had to get the first train in the morning, which was quite difficult to get out of bed for. But we caught the first train in the morning, arrived there at about 6 a.m, just in time for the tuna auction. Now, the tuna auction is pretty spectacular. It's well worth a visit. I've never seen anything like it. Now, the only tuna that I've ever seen is the stuff you get in cans, you know, and it doesn't look particularly impressive. I always thought tuna were little, you know, little, like, well, like, I don't know, a bit of cod or something. But no, here at Tsukiji Fish Market, you've got all these huge frozen tuna, like, they're all over a metre long, a metre and a half. The fish was this big. No, but it really was. You've got all these huge tuna that are sort of partially gutted, and they've all got their tails chopped off, and so that the people who are buying it, they can stick their, they've got like these little ice picks, and they hack into the tuna's tail, pick out a bit of flesh and taste it, see if it's any good for their sushi shops. And so anyway, wherever you look, there's these huge tuna lying on the floor. And anyway, the tuna auction is quite spectacular. The visitors are supposed to stay behind a certain line to keep out of the way, but we didn't see this notice saying, you know, please keep out of the way and don't use a flash on your camera. We didn't notice that, so we were just walking around and we went right up to where the auction was taking place. And I've got a little audio file for you here of the actual auction carrying on. So let's have a quick listen to that and see what Japanese you can pick out. So So yeah, it was quite spectacular, this guy going on and on and on. And I was asking Twinkle, who happened to be with us, and of course Twinkle's Japanese, in case you weren't aware. I asked Twinkle, so what's he saying? You know, I can't make out anything he's saying. And she said, I haven't got a clue. It's like a foreign language, even to the Japanese. Unless you work there, you don't know what on earth they're saying. So but it was pretty spectacular. And anyway, after we saw the auction, which finishes by 6:30 a.m, so you do need to get there early to see that, we then went wandering around and saw these bizarre creatures, half of which I'd swear were made by Jim Henson's Muppets studio, if I hadn't seen them with my own eyes at Skiji. And and then, I mean, we saw this huge tuna being sawn in half. It wasn't a frozen tuna, it was relatively fresh. My God, they use these huge saws, two of them, a man on each end of this saw, sawing this tuna in half. It was incredible. And it was really amazing. And then, of course, one of the best things about going to Skiji Fish Market is that after you've seen the auction and you've walked around and seen these huge piles of octopuses and live fish having their heads chopped off, poor things, there's blood everywhere. It was a bit shocking for a vegan. Anyway, then you can go and have some sushi. Vegan sushi, of course. Then you can go and have some sushi. And the sushi shops just outside Skiji Fish Market are, of course, some of the best in Japan. You cannot get fish fresher than that. So we had a great feast, and of course it's not terribly expensive either, so we had a really nice feast. There was one thing on the menu though that I wasn't particularly prepared for, although people have since told me it's actually quite common, and that was roast horse sushi. Now, I've never come across that before, and the idea of eating horses, I don't know, I don't like the idea really. So anyway, I didn't have any of that. Another thing that was a bit of a shocker was just outside Skiji Fish Market, there's this bizarre shop that specialises in stuffed animals. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, sure, you do go into some shops, you know, all around the world, and you will see, you know, the odd stuffed bison's head, or if you go to see Mr. Mark Darcy or something. But this place, right, they had a stuffed crocodile hanging from the ceiling, and these are all real, you know, honmono, it's the genuine article. A stuffed polar bear, which I thought was a bit off, and worst of all, they had a stuffed panda. I mean, crikey, I guess it came from China, but and who on earth is going to buy a stuffed panda? They weren't cheap either, we're talking hundreds and hundreds of pounds here, if not thousands. It was quite spectacular. Anyway, I was quite shocked by that. If you're watching the advanced podcast, then you'll be able to see a photo up of that I took of the stuffed animals there. So yeah, so that was Skiji Fish Market. So Skiji, definitely worth a visit. It does mean, you know, if you've got jet lag, it's fine. If you haven't got jet lag, be prepared for a very early morning and go back to bed afterwards, but it's well worth a visit. Anyway, so that's Skiji Fish Market. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a while since we last heard from Tom Kobayashi, but he's back today with an interview with Tokyo architect Masaki Endo. So please, welcome to the mic, Tom Kobayashi.
So hello and welcome to Tom's Bit in Joseph's podcast. So today with me, I'd like to welcome Masaki Endo, Tokyo architect, who I'll be interviewing. Welcome, Masaki.
Thank you very much.
So first of all, I'd just like to do a bit of background on Masaki. He was born in Tokyo and still lives in Tokyo in 1963. completed the Master Course of Architecture in 1989 at Tokyo University of Science. Then he worked at Kai Workshop from 1989 to 1994, and then established his own company, EDH, in 1994. He was awarded the Tokyo House Prize and the Yoshioka Award in 2000 for Natural Shelter. And then he was also awarded the JIA Rookie of the Year 2003 and the Design Vanguard 2004 in the New York Architectural Records for his project Natural Ellipse. And of course there are many more prizes which he has also received. So today we're going to be talking about that successful project Natural Ellipse. And Masaki, can I ask you, this is a very unique looking building. What inspired you to make this shape?
Yes, and this building is standing in the unique, unique areas,
okay,
Marunouchi.
Yes. Uh-huh, right.
And the client bought the plot. The plot.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
And they give me. They want to. They want me to design such a place.
Okay. Yes. So why is this area so kind of unique in Tokyo?
Yes, and there are a lot of love hotels around the town.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And here.
Uh-huh, yeah.
And now, love hotel is a unique system, I think.
Okay, yes, sure.
Yeah. And there are a lot of... but now, there are a lot of entertainment places for young people.
Right.
Theater. Clubs,
yes,
and the other things.
Okay, yeah, sure. Yeah. So it's quite a very vibrant kind of, especially at night time.
Yeah, yes, yes. Yeah.
And so your clients wanted a residential building to live in the middle of this area.
Yeah,
right, yeah. So when you were building it, what kind of materials did you use?
Yes, and we came up with such a unique.
Okay, yes.
But it is difficult to build under the usual systems.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And I considered. Mm. And I came up with FRP. FRP.
Mm-hmm. Right, yes.
Before, FRP has not been used in the usual systems.
Oh, for construction.
Was a
buildings, right? Yes. Yeah. So just to explain, FRP is a plastic.
Yes. Yes. Right, plastic is unflammable.
Flammable.
Flammable. Oh,
yes. Yeah.
And I collaborate with a company.
Okay.
And we made unflammable.
Oh, inflammable.
Inflammable.
Right. Yes.
Materials.
Right. Right. Yeah. Okay. So it's protected against fire.
Yeah.
Yes. Right. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. And your shape of this building is very, some might call it strange. It's like a white cocoon in the middle of all this bright neon and kind of other more traditional looking buildings.
Yeah. And under circumstances, the building doesn't not windows on the outwards.
Ah, okay. So there's no windows.
But... it's a good. It has a courtyard, but the plot is very small.
Sure. Yes.
So the building couldn't have a courtyard.
Right. Okay. Yes.
So we come up with a skylight.
Ah. Right. Okay. Yeah.
And under the skylight, there is a spiral staircase.
Okay. Yes.
And
sure.
From that, we can get the sunlight.
Right.
And so. The space is comfortable. Would be comfortable. I thought.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
So the kind of the skylight acts and the spiral staircase. It's like a funnel, is it, for the light coming through the building?
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yes. Yeah. Okay. And then so for the living arrangements within the building, can you just talk a little bit about that?
Yes. And the building has two families.
Okay. Yes.
The owners is couple.
Okay. Yeah.
And the rent house.
Mm-hmm. Okay. A tenant.
Yeah. And the basement and third floor, fourth floor, is for the owner.
Okay, yes.
And first floor and the second floor is for the rent.
Right, okay.
And they never meet each other.
Okay.
The entrance is different.
Oh, they've got two different entrances.
Yeah.
Right, in the same building.
Yeah.
Right. And within the building itself, everything is white.
Yeah.
Yes. What was the inspiration idea behind that?
Yes. Because of the small rank, small plot.
Mm, right.
And the building has no two points.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
1 point is angular.
Oh, okay. Yes. Yeah.
And the second is no color.
Oh, right, okay.
It's white.
Right.
And,
so there's no angles,
yeah.
And everything is white.
Yeah.
Right, yes. Yeah.
And we thought they would fill the space more.
Right.
Space more.
Oh, yes, yeah, sure. They'll feel like there's more space.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah. Yeah, I mean, looking at your photos and being to the building, it does give a sense of space
because of those
two aspects, yeah. Yes. Okay, well, that's great talking about that, and thank you very much for this brief interview about some of your ideas behind your architecture.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, thank you, Tom, for that interview with the architect Masaki Endo. It really is quite an extraordinary house. If you're listening to the advanced version of the podcast, then I put some photos up whilst that track was playing off the house, so you could have seen some photos there. Or if you do a search on Google for Masaki Endo Natural Ellipse is the name of the house, you can see it there. It's quite extraordinary the way it's tucked into this area that, as we heard in the interview, is packed full of love hotels and night entertainment. And you got this amazing white shape in the middle of it all. It's really quite beautiful. Extraordinary vision there. So thank you very much, Tom, and look forward to hearing from you again soon.
Yes, it must be feedback time.
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 I really appreciate the feedback that I've received this month. It's been varied. Thanks for all of those of you who've told me that the music's too loud and you keep on having to turn down your iPod. I know how annoying that is, and I'm sorry I didn't spot it myself. I'm completely deaf, so that's probably why I didn't notice. Anyway, we've had some good feedback. Here's the end of a message that I received from the UK.
Hello, Joseph. It's Natasha. I don't know if you can actually hear me. My mic sometimes doesn't work. If you don't mind me asking, how old are you? How old are you when you started your degree? You could just let me know.
Right,
thanks, bye.
Well, Natasha, that's a bit of a personal question. I'm not sure I'm prepared to give away that vital information.
I'm 29 now. Yes, I was 29 earlier this month, so I've only got one more year to live. No, not really, life begins at 30. 29, I started my degree when I was 26, I think, having taken about 8 years out to do this, that and the other, and to discover what I really wanted to study. And I think it was a great decision, because I finally found something. Japanese studies, of course, is what I'm studying at university. I finally found something that I really do love, and I love my course in both Japan and in England. So I'm very happy to have waited that long. So thank you very much for your message, Natasha, and thank you for your other feedback. I really appreciate that, and I do hope that you enjoy this week's episode as well. Thank you. I got another very interesting message on my Skype answer phone. which, well, actually, this person called me 6 times, but I was never online when they called, so they left these messages. This is just one message left by this rather odd listener. I'm not quite sure.
Just want to make a phone call, please.
So yes, if that was you, thank you very much for your message. I think you just want to make a phone call, isn't that right? The number seems to be a UK number, so thank you very much to whoever you are for that delightful message. So thank you very much for your feedback, everyone. Natasha, I'll be sending you the calendar, a Japanese calendar from the Tokyo Toffee Manufacturers Association, as mentioned in last week's episode. If you send me your address, I'll send that through. Stranger, who called me lots of times and then wanted to make a phone call, I'm afraid I won't be sending you anything
because you're too strange.
So yes, I really appreciate everyone's feedback though, and there's been a lot more in emails and things, and yes, all muchly appreciated. Keep on sending it in. You can send it by email to joseph@ayearinjapan.com, or you can send it by Skype. You can Skype me. My username is Joseph Tame. Go to www.ayearinjapan.com and you'll find all my details there. You can send me MP3s, videos, emails, whatever. It's all warmly welcomed. And yes, I look forward very much to hearing from you. So, hang on, I think the phone's ringing. Crikey, you're right in the middle of recording. I'm just going to have to take this. Hang on a sec. Hello?
Hello, is that Joseph in Japan?
Yep, this is Joseph. Who's that?
My name's Gordon. I've been following your website, Joseph, for lots of years, really, and I share lots of your feelings. But there's one thing I've often wondered about Japan.
Right.
Because of all the pollution,
yeah.
I wonder whether the Japanese, because they're all very short, my granddad used to say they were under 3 foot, but I know they're not. But I wonder, because all the hydrocarbons and the particulates go downwards to the ground, whether the Japanese suffer from more pollution-related illnesses because of that.
I
would just wondered.
Well, that's a very interesting question, and I'm very grateful that you've taken the trouble to phone in with that question.
there was another question too related to that, because you say you live in call it a box sometimes. It's a very small space, and obviously there's not a lot of air.
No.
Do you notice when you have visitors that you really notice the shortage of oxygen in your apartment or cupboard or box? You know.
Well, once again, a very valid question. Yes, in actual fact, what we've had to do is when we send out invitations for luncheons held in our mansion, we actually have to put on the bottom, please bring your own supply of oxygen.
Oh, really? Do you really have to do that?
Yeah, we do. Yeah,
blimey!
I know.
Gosh.
It's quite horrendous, because the thing is some people when in a way, it's quite interesting because you can see what they're expecting. Because if they just come round with a tiny little oxygen tank, you know that they only want a cup of tea. But it's when they wheel in these great big things attached to hoses, which are attached to a big oxygen tank on a lorry in the road, that you know that they're going to stay for a while.
Well, that's amazing. That is, and they manage to get the pipe right the way through from the sort of oxygen tanker thing through what your door or up the drains or somewhere.
I think that's
really interesting. Yeah. I wonder whether you couldn't have some sort of filter oxygen mask which you can clamp onto your head, because I would have thought the Japanese would have thought of that, because they're very inventive.
They should. They are, aren't they? I guess I should have checked that out. Well, anyway, thank you very much for your questions. Very valid.
That's fine. Anyway, just to say, I've always been a fan of your podcast, and I really feel for you, when things aren't right. And
I think you're
I'm one of your fans anyway.
Oh,
and I'm not very bright, but anyway, I think it's great. Okay, cheers, mate. Cheers.
All right, thanks. Okay, bye. Well, that was a bit unexpected. Maybe it's Gordon that's downloaded A Year in Japan 1,000 times over the last couple of weeks. I wonder if Gordon is a good example of the average audience of A Year in Japan. Still, thank you very much, Gordon, for your questions. Very interesting questions, and I hope that I was able to give you a further insight into Japan. Anyway, that's quite enough listeners' feedback for this week. Thank you, everyone. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we've reached the end of another episode of A Year in Japan. Keeping this week's relatively short, hoping to do more shorter versions rather than one every 10 years that's about 3 million years long. I hope you've enjoyed today's show. If you got any suggestions or if there's anything you want to hear about, or if you want more news or whatever, go to www.yearinjapan.com and let me know. These days, I'll just give you a brief rundown of what I'm doing, because although I'm currently on my spring holiday, it's a three-month holiday that these Japanese university students have. I don't know how they manage to learn anything. It's incredible. But they do have quite a short summer holiday. So anyway, I'm really enjoying having this three-month break. But that doesn't mean that I'm lying around watching YouTube all the time. No, very busy. In May, we've got myself and some friends are doing a 100 kilometers in 48 hours over rocky terrain, mountainous terrain, in aid of Oxfam Japan. So we're already training for that, because it's going to be a really big challenge. So I've started getting fit, which is a real first for me. It's incredible. Although actually, at the moment, I can't really move. Because last week I learnt to snowboard and did my back in, falling over on a big stone. It's not broken, but it hurts. So anyway, tomorrow we're going on a practice hike for this 100 kilometre hike. A hike from Odawara to Mount Fuji, the legendary Fuji-san. So there's that. Then also there's a one-day Oxfam shop. Of course, we don't have Oxfam shops in Japan. Once again, in aid of Oxfam Japan, of course. So we're hoping to establish an Oxfam charity shop, starting hopefully later this year. But on the 3rd of March, if you're in Tokyo, 3rd of March, we've got a one-day Oxfam shop held in Heaven's Door in Shimokitazawa, that great little bar there. So do come on down and support that. What else am I doing? Oh, kanji. I'm still learning the kanji. Oh yes, now I've got Heisig Book 2. I'm trying to plough my way through it. And I'm feeling good about the kanji. It's great. I hate them. Epilepsy forum. I'm working on an epilepsy forum. Basically, I can't find that many support home pages and things for people with epilepsy, which are run by which are international in their outlook and not so medical. There are a lot of support organisations, but they're all a bit sort of disjointed, and it's quite difficult to become members of some, etc, etc. So I want to provide a portal. So that's going to be launched later this month, because of course I've got epilepsy, which is the connection with epilepsy there. And also I've started working part-time. Yes, I'm teaching English, which I swore I'd never do, because I absolutely hated teaching English in the old days. But thanks to Tom, who's helped me out a great deal with planning lessons and things, now I realise that I can actually teach English. It's all a matter of planning and having a clue what you're doing. Whereas in the old days, I didn't have a clue. I was shit scared and it was absolutely terrible. So anyway, so I'm quite enjoying that part-time work. If you'd like to keep up with what I'm up to and see my photos and things, do visit www.tamegoeswild.com, TAMEgoeswild.com, / the Daily Mumble, and there's all my news there. Anyway, that's enough advertising from me. One more thing, yes. Do go to tamegoeswild.com /trailwalker, trailwalker, and it's there that you'll find all the details of our 48-hour, 100-kilometre hike that we're going to raise £2,000 for Oxfam. Anyway, that's enough talking from me. Today it's been a really great day in Tokyo. I'm really enjoying living here. Everything's fantastic. And indeed, absolutely. So until next time, do take care, do get in touch. Let me know what you think, let me know what you want to hear. And I'll speak to you next time. Till then, bye-bye.